Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we are collectively emanating. The other unique and magical way to share this show is by sending any friends you think would benefit from listening to this podcast our Game with the Universe link at positivehead.com/game. Also listed in the show notes, which will serve them up a quote-unquote random episode when they click it. Just instruct them before clicking the link to close their eyes for a moment and sincerely ask the universe to cue up the episode that contains the insight and perspectives that they most need to hear at this point in their life journey, and then click to listen to whatever episode is synchronistically served up to them. I have heard time and time again from people about the incredible results they received playing the game. So just tell your friends, magical results are guaranteed or their karma back. All right, all you positive heads. On this week's interview episode, I'm very happy to have Daniel Benor here with me on the show. Daniel is a holistic psychotherapist who has spent 35 years blending into his therapy elements from intuitive and personal spiritual awareness, bringing together a broad spectrum of healing disciplines. Hello there, Dan. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Delighted to join you, Brandon.
Yeah, likewise. Very happy to have you here and excited to sort of dig in and pick your brain on this stuff. Obviously, you have a lot of experience in a area and a discipline that we are very interested in learning more about on the show. It's, so much goodness there to dig into. But before we do, I'd like to start off asking you the same question I always start off asking. You're in an elevator. The guy next to you looks over, says, "What's your passion?" You have 10 floors to answer. What do you say?
I help people to sort out their lives by letting go of what they're not happy with and installing what they'd like to have better in their lives. Mm.
Well, what a beautiful path that you've paved for yourself. And why don't you, before we get into the details of that, tell us a little bit about your background and story and how you ended up on this beautiful path.
As a teenager, I was very interested in psychotherapy. It just somehow appealed to me as a career. Mm-hmm. I went through an undergraduate in psychology and then medicine and psychiatry, because in those days, psychiatry was all psychotherapy. Mm-hmm. Over the years, psychiatry became all medication, and that's not what I signed on to do by any means. So for my own stress, and in order to help people, in addition to prescribing meds, I learned quick, potent interventions. And then I combined two of these that I liked the best: EMDR, which is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, and emotional freedom techniques, EFT, into what I now call WE. I've had to rebrand WE because of the WE video game. People were complaining that it sounds trivial. So right. I now call it transformative, holistic reintegration.
Gotcha. And it's combining a few different things. We've had Sonia Sofia on the show. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her, but an amazing EFT teacher, practitioner. She's been on a few times, actually. And so many of the listeners are probably familiar with EFT and maybe even have joined into some of her online events that we've promoted on the show before and so forth. But EMDR, that's something new. And at least to me, I'm not familiar and I'm assuming many of the listeners are not. And so maybe you can tell us a little bit about, touch on EFT just a little bit for those who aren't familiar with that either, and kind of tell us what EMDR is as well, and which leads to this transformative holistic reintegration approach you've developed.
Good. What I found with EMDR, which is a stimulation of the left and right sides of the body, while focusing your mind on your problem, is that it can be used safely only in the therapist's office. It produces very deep, rapid releases of trauma and negative feelings. And in order to avoid overwhelm, the therapist should be present. Now, as a psychiatrist prescribing meds, I only had 15 minutes once a month, and that wasn't enough for using it with clients in that setting. It helped me deal with my own stress, but I couldn't use it with clients. EFT was much more user-friendly. But people came back to me saying, it's not working. Mm-hmm. And when I clarified, I realized people who came to me had serious emotional stress and were expecting medication. Mm-hmm. When they most needed the EFT was when they were in a panic or triggered by their trauma. And they often couldn't remember how to do it. Children also complained, as did a few adults, that they couldn't do it in public, because people would think it was weird and kids would get teased or bullied.
Right.
Now, combining the two of them ended up working better. So instead of tapping on the long EFT sequence of acupressure points, if people just tapped on the right and left sides of their body, which is what EMDR does, they could then use the focusing statements of EFT and the neutralizing statements. And it worked much quicker, more easily, and more deeply. And I ended up learning from my patients that this helped enormously for pain as well as other problems. This was a surprise to me. In med school, I was taught you use pain killers for pain. But my clients taught me that pain is a messenger from our inner self. And our body is being used as a telephone to get our attention. The pain is like a telephone bell. When we listen to what our body wants us to know, the pain often goes down or even disappears.
Interesting. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
You've been very polite and you haven't asked about my voice. Let me explain that I have a partial paralysis of one of my vocal cords. It's something that sometimes happens for unknown reasons.
Interesting.
In my case, I've discovered it's connected with trauma from early in my life. And I've slowly been clearing the trauma using TWR and other methods. So it is getting better.
Wow. And this is something that would just come on sporadically for you throughout your life?
No, it came on about 2 years ago.
Wow.
It's slowly been getting better.
Wow. And how did you determine the link between early childhood trauma and the paralysis?
I talked with my voice and asked it, what do you want me to know about my life? Mm-hmm. And it opened up some memories. And I went to several intuitives who were really good at medical problems, and they all confirmed what I had perceived, that I'd had trauma between the age of 1 and 4.
Wow. Wow. What a fascinating discovery. And for me, it's truly fascinating, someone in your line of work to then have, you know, how often it seems someone who, of course, is devoted their life to helping to heal people. And then now it's you're your own patient, right? This thing very late in life appear, you know, much later in your life, 35, 30 some years into your career, just comes out of nowhere and creates sort of this opportunity in disguise, right, for you to work on yourself and develop. Has it helped you with developing any sort of new techniques from the firsthand experience with this?
Not particularly, but it has taught me patience and persistence.
Right. Wow. What a fascinating journey that you are on. And now, so is this something for the last 2 years you've had the paralysis of the vocal cords, or is it something that comes and goes?
It's been pretty steady. And it's just my left vocal cord.
Wow.
It's worse when I am stressed. Mm-hmm. If I speak in the evening, it's often worse. And dehydration also.
Right. Very, very interesting. Now, your books, you've written several books, and one of them really jumped out at me, 7 Minutes to Natural Pain Release. Is this book basically, I haven't read the book, so curious if it is tied to the EMDR and EFT, you know, your transformative holistic reintegration approach.
It is, Brandon. And in addition, I've got websites One is danielbenor.com, explaining what I do, and twrapp.com, which explains the method. And the third one is the International Journal of Healing and Caring, why I explain holistic healing, which I spell with a W, to indicate that I help people with body, emotions, mind, relationship, and spirit.
Wow. So it makes me think instantly, you know, you're not only your onset of these symptoms, you know, sort of out of nowhere. My brother-in-law has had something in recent months that doctors can't figure out at all, where his hands will go numb, his feet will go numb. It causes him to trip from time to time. And so curious if what someone like, and I'm sure there's many listeners out there who have someone in their family or in themselves where there's some sort of a symptom that, you know, disrupts their normal life pattern that no one, you know, traditional medicine doesn't have sort of an answer for. What would you recommend for someone? And I think of my brother-in-law, there's a lot of frustration because no one can kind of figure out what to do or what should be done or what it means or why it's happening. What would your advice be to someone in that scenario?
To ask questions of their symptom or symptoms and see what comes to them from their inner self as they open to what the body wants them to know.
Right.
And then if that doesn't clear it completely, which it often does, to use the tapping technique to reduce the symptoms.
Right, right. So to use EFT, you know, as I mentioned, you know, Sonia Sophia from the World Tapping Circle. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her or not. Is a friend of mine and has been on many times. And she offers a great service where, you know, people can join, and it's a, you know, people from all around the world. I think typically on Monday nights. And recommending joining some sort of a group like that, or just learning it on their own, or is this something through your own site where you you had mentioned the EMDR piece of it? You feel needs to happen with a trained professional. Is that correct?
Well, when I combined the two of them, I found that it's safe to use on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get the heavy emotional releases.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually different from EMDR.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people email me to thank me for helping them, and I never met them. They just used the apps that I put together, or they read the book. But I can also help on Skype or by phone, as long as people speak English.
Right. And, okay. So the name of your app again,
TWR app, one word, .com.
Okay. And they can also get that, I'm assuming as an app on their phone.
Yes. It's actually in the form of a PDF file, so you can get it on any device.
Okay.
And follow the instructions.
Excellent.
I've had such tremendous success with this, Brandon, that over the 17 years I've been doing this, online or in person, I've only had 3 people where it didn't work.
Wow. And out of how many people have have you seen or sort of pointed in this direction?
Including workshops I've done. Thousands. I haven't kept track.
Wow.
I teach at conferences and I've done webinars.
Wow. Incredible. So it's just switch gears. Oh, please.
Can I give you an example?
Please.
And that's supported by a YouTube. If you Google Daniel Benor, we YouTube, you'll see an illustration of a man with a frozen shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And in the course of an hour, his pain went from a level 8 down to a 1.5. He was able to connect with his pain, wanting him to look at issues dating back to his childhood and to install more positive views. And then he was also able to reduce it further doing tapping.
Powerful. I definitely will check that out. And I'm very excited to also share this with my brother-in-law, share your work and, see how that, how it works out for him. Hopefully he will be open enough to explore it. But when you say, ask the pain, what is it you're trying to show me? Do you see in most cases, that people will sort of have visions or emotions or memories that will just come up? Do they do this in sort of a meditative setting?
Excellent question, Brandon. And this gets into my holistic understanding of who each of us is.
Mm.
In med school, I was taught just about the body. I remember being directed by one of my instructors to go look at the interesting liver in bed number 3. For the doctor, it was the liver he was treating. When I help someone, I'm treating a person who has a body, but he also has emotions and a mind and relationships and spirit. And oftentimes, the body wants the person to connect with something related to other aspects than the body. And if a person asks, what is it I'm meant to know? Just asking a question like that, oftentimes the answers come very quickly.
It's so simple yet so profound, and in such stark contrast to the way our current medical paradigm is structured. Although, I'm curious what your thoughts are. Do you feel that paradigm is slowly being shifted, and more things like this are becoming less considered sort of woo-woo by normal medical standards, and that there's a shift occurring, would you say?
The shift is occurring very, very slowly.
Mm.
Modern medicine is so focused on the body, and doctors spend 4 years in med school and then internship and then specialty training, learning more and more about the body, that they really have a blind spot or blind spots for anything else.
Right.
So it's the public that's waking up very quickly, because medications are often deadly. Many doctors don't know, and most who know won't tell their clients, their patients, that medicine is the third leading cause of death.
Wow.
Mostly medications, but also medical errors.
Right. Wow. That's a profound statistic. I have not heard that, but
it's backed by medical research.
My question for you, you had mentioned with your own vocal cord paralysis, it came from, an early childhood trauma. And do you believe all illness or disease comes from something such as a trauma or a negative mindset? Or, you know, you even have people, and this gets into maybe a whole nother subject, the idea and some of the research on past life impact on health. You know, I'm sure you're familiar at least with some of the theories of and research done showing, you know, people who have these inexplicable illnesses and or fears that develop at a certain time in life. And then through like past life regression, they're able to remember, you know, in your case, you're remembering something from early childhood. They're remembering something beyond, this life, supposedly. And so I'm curious, you know, the root, you know, and I know this is a pretty big question, the root of illnesses and what those various illnesses are or diseases are from your, you know, 30 plus years of looking at this from a non-traditional viewpoint.
I was very curious when I heard about past life memories and therapy. And that was some 30 years ago that I started looking at it. And I've incorporated that in my practice. So I'm quite familiar with it, Brandon. And anything from our current life or past lives could be a message. I had that experience myself with a pain in my thigh that was just not that serious, but it wouldn't go away. I went to a medical intuitive. This was a good 25 years ago. And she helped me connect with a past life where I had been a Native American, and I'd married a woman in another tribe and joined that tribe. We had a child, and both my wife and child died in childbirth.
Oh, wow.
And I was in this tribe that was not my tribe of origin. And I was feeling betrayed by God. And I developed a pain somehow in my hip. And my pain in my current life resonated with that pain in the past life. And as I connected with that, and as I leered for that death where I was feeling abandoned, not by my tribe, because that was our way of life. It happened in winter during a trek, and we had no pack animals that I could ride. And I just had to stay back when they moved on.
Wow, that's quite powerful.
My current life pain, as you, noted, connected with a past life experience, clearing the past life experience, cleared my current life pain. Long way around to saying yes to your question.
very, very fascinating. And, you know, of course, there's some people probably less listening to this show than maybe in the general public. But, you know, a lot of people would be very skeptical about such a thing. But when you look at some of the accounts of people in, you know, I forget, you probably know the book names off the top of your head, you know, where it's just account after account after account of people who have inexplicable issues in this life. They go into past life regression. They have detail, like your memory that you just recounted. That's pretty detailed, right? Detailed memories and recollections that then help to release that trauma, which then miraculously clears up the problem in this life.
Brandon, experiences like I shared and experiences of observing healers like Reiki or therapeutic touch or healing touch or prayer healers got me interested in that.
Right.
I've written several books about research confirming healing is real, and a book on spiritual awareness looking not only at past life experiences, but also near death experiences and deathbed experiences. Did you know that 2 out of 3 people who lost someone close to them will say yes if you ask them, did you have a sense that person was still present after they passed on? I discovered this from an article in the American Journal of Psychiatry, which is certainly not a New Age journal, in 1989. And I started asking people who had lost someone to tell me about it. And then I asked them, had you ever told anyone else? And most of them would never mention it because they were scared they were losing it. And they were sure other people would think they were going crazy. Some never mentioned it, but they were very, very grateful that I asked and that they could share it.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. It's one of those things that doesn't seem to be talked about in the mainstream, but is, almost everyone has some sort of a story, I found as well that, you know, is, inexplicable and, reassuring. And, you know, it's such a beautiful thing. And of course, there's so many people who are so fearful of death. And I think once you really start looking at some of this evidence that's out there, and they're certainly not broadcasting it on the mainstream news or the television, right? They're not telling you that vision. But if you do go and dig on your own, it's overwhelming the amount of stories and evidence and you know, so forth that shows that that our consciousness goes on.
Suppose, Brandon, that you had come from Africa 30 years ago to the West. You saw a TV set and people speaking and moving on the TV set. To you, that would be inexplicable.
Right. Right.
And anyone who explained it to you might use explanations that you wouldn't have any clue how to absorb. The same applies to spiritual experiences, to people in our Western society, because we've been raised in a left brain dominant society. We believe, with all of our education focused on left brain teaching, that's facts that are proven by science, that only science is real. Mm-hmm. But to other people, our subjective experiences are very most real. And the fact that they're personal, but real, and can't be measured on some machine or reproduced by everyone else at will, or even by ourselves at will, doesn't mean they're unreal. Just means they're in the spiritual dimensions rather than the physical world dimensions.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it does seem as though these sorts of things as well, in addition to unconventional, medicine, medicinal approaches and philosophies and ideas and practices, it seems like, as you mentioned, it's slowly changing. But I believe, or I'd be curious what your thoughts are. Do you feel as though there is a spiritual revolution of sorts happening where people are opening up to a lot of these ideas more so than in the past and at an increasing rate?
Absolutely, Brandon. Yes. I find that more and more, if I invite people to consider past life memories when they come to me for help, they're quite pleased to explore that. Mm. I find that the other part of my therapy, TWR, or we, after releasing negativity, is to install positivity. Mm. And when I help people strengthen their spiritual awareness as part of their positivity, it is deeply appreciated and is tremendously helpful. The spiritual can also be a resource in releasing pain, because part of the pain release is to focus on the pain and then focus on something positive. Mm. And so I have people focus on positive experiences and positive feelings and see how it helps reduce the pain.
Interesting.
And I invite them to focus on spiritual awarenesses or beliefs or practices. And when they do that, some of them notice a qualitative increase, an enhancement in the pain release due to connecting to the spiritual. So they can sense that the spiritual is a real force in their lives.
Wow.
For good and for healing.
Yeah, what an interesting way to sort of bring evidence into 3D, if you will, right? I really like how you say that and how you tied that together and that approach. It makes a lot of sense and serves as a vehicle to provide evidence.
Yes, personal experience is the best way for people to learn about the spiritual. I call the spiritual awareness knowing with a G instead of with K. And that's like gut feeling, knowing.
Ah.
We sense it within ourselves. And so it's real because we trust or learn to trust that inner knowing. It's not just a belief about it. It's knowing it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's such a great point. And I often say with my own spiritual journey, that's how it really started out, was being open to some of these concepts that were foreign to me, you know, having been raised very conservative Christian traditional sort of belief system. And as I was exposed in my very early 20s to some of these concepts and ideas, that's exactly what it was like for me. It was like sort of this huge a light bulb going off within every cell of my being, like definitely a gnawing and me kind of looking around and saying, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense. It rings true at every level of my being. And how is everyone around me not, you know, kind of freaking out on this too? that was sort of my journey for a long time. And for a long time, it was like talking to anyone and everyone who would listen, and very excitedly, you know, sort of talking about such concepts. And people would either think, that's very interesting, or you're crazy, one of the two, and go about their normal lives typically. And, you know, in recent years, and of course, with this podcast and everything, it's really shifted where I have so many people in my life now that are sort of on the same level and sort of looking at reality through the same lens, if you will. And that's been a really big shift in the last few years, whereas the first, you know, 10, 15 years that I was, you know, waking up to some of this stuff, it was a little bit of a lonely journey. But I can very much relate to exactly what you're saying there.
And I love what you're sharing, Brandon. And thank you and bless you for the work you're doing to help more people wake up to this, because I believe it's crucial to the survival of living beings on this world for us to wake up to the collective trauma that we have. A lot of people who have PTSD end up being suicidal.
Right.
And humanity, as I see it, is doing its best in many creative ways to suicide collectively. So I can only guess, with my left brain, but I do sense with my inner knowing that the collective PTSD is leading people to be brutal to others and to create pollution and to use up our resources and to generate wars in ways that I can only explain as a collective PTSD. I believe if each of us clears our own trauma, we contribute as a pixel on the screen of the bigger reality. A clearing of the pixel that we are. And if we encourage others to do it, this can spread. In my journal, I have an article on people going to Rwanda and teaching them to get over the PTSD that they've carried since 1994 from the genocide. And these tapping methods, like EFT, in this case, it was TFT, thought field therapy, they've been able to clear the trauma in individuals in one session, in many cases. And the people who've cleared it, pay it forward, because these methods are simple to use, easy to learn, easy to teach. And they're estimating that they've reached about 30,000 people at this point. Wow. Mostly by paying it forward.
Wow, that is beautiful. How long ago was that effort, that campaign started?
It started in 2012, I believe, is my memory. Might have been a few years earlier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful, beautiful example. And I couldn't agree more. You know, sometimes it's so easy for folks to feel disempowered. And what can I do? I'm so small, you know, and the world is so big and there's so much pain and so much dysfunction happening. But if one can realize that we're sort of reflections of one another, and what's in the one is in the whole, and vice versa. And so the best way any of us, I believe, can contribute to healing and course correcting this planet is by healing ourselves.
Yes. Let me throw out a further idea if we have about 5 minutes time.
For sure. Yeah.
I studied about healing, as I mentioned, and I wrote a book summarizing the research in healing. And I was surprised to find 3 studies of prayer healing published in conventional medical journals.
Hmm.
And I then came across proxy healing, where, for instance, a person's father or husband might be in a hospital and a healer isn't able to visit in that hospital. So the person wanting to send the healing goes to the healer, and the healer gives the person sitting in front of them the healing that's intended for the one in the hospital. They found that the connection between that person and the one needing the healing, telepathic connection or spiritual connection, can connect the healing so that it works for the person in the hospital.
Wow.
Now, if it can work for one person, why not for anyone who wants healing and is ready to receive it?
Right.
So I've encouraged people to use their own healing as a proxy healing for anyone out there who's in need of relief from whatever the person in front of me is releasing.
Mm.
Hoping to reach more people in the collective consciousness. And by the way, you may notice my voice is getting a little less stressed.
Yeah.
as I talk with you.
Yeah.
And that's because I'm getting more comfortable with you.
Mm.
And so I'm less uptight.
Right.
And so my vocal cord is relaxing a bit more.
How beautiful. And what a beautiful idea that you also shared a moment ago. So could you elaborate just a little more? So let's say I want to act as a proxy and I want to help, to facilitate healing in some way, shape or form with someone outside of myself today. What is there a technique or approach or...
3 sentences will do it. I invite anyone and everyone, anywhere and everywhere. Anyone and everyone who is ready to release with me to do so. This comes from Ho'oponopono, the healing method developed in Hawaii. And then you add, I thank you and I bless you and I wish you well on your journey. Now, what we're doing is not pushing healing on anyone.
Right.
We're just inviting anyone who resonates to come along for their own healing. And right. I suspect, Brandon, that my experience talking with you would suggest that you have a healing presence. And that people would relax talking with you. And people would listen if you invited them, you know, to do something like that.
I love that. I love that so much. Thank you so much for sharing that. And it's something that I will incorporate actually into these broadcasts. I as you're saying it, I'm instantly what comes to me is how powerful that is. And so that's quite a gift. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Brandon. And speaking of gifts, on my TWRapp.com, I have a free app from which anyone can learn the method. There's just too much suffering and pain in the world. Everybody should have access to these methods.
Wow. That's so generous of you. And I know I will definitely be checking this out. And I'm sure many listeners will be as well. And, you know, it's so easy to sense the sincerity in your, you know, in your voice, in your energy field. It feels really, really healing just to connect with you like this. I would like to switch up a little bit here and have a little bit of story time. The listeners know I love hearing stories of synchronicity or serendipity, positive paranormal event, perhaps a great healing story. Whatever you may have up your sleeve to share, we would love to hear.
I had a woman come to me. This is a healing story with let me tell you a different one. You like synchronicities.
You can tell more than one story. On this show, there's never been a time where I said, oh, you've got a story and let me cut you off. I love a good story. So feel free to share as many as you feel inspired to share.
The healing story where I learned the most was, I have to back up here. People came to me with migraines and said, how can you help me? I don't have a migraine right now. I said, well, why don't we see if we use the method of pain release on your migraine, whether releasing the memory of it would work as well as if you had a migraine when you came. And sure enough, the memory pain released and they stopped having migraines.
Wow.
And so I knew when a woman came to me with pain in her face from about 35 years earlier, and the pain had been so severe following a dental procedure. And no medical treatment had worked. And medications had given her so many side effects that she just didn't tolerate them and stopped. And for 10 years, she'd had pain with no relief. And in one session, her pain cleared. And I believe it cleared because I knew to direct her to go back to the memory of the first time she experienced the pain.
Mm.
And to clear that memory along with her current pain.
Wow.
By clearing the past memory with the current pain or trauma memory, people do much, much better. And so these are two lessons I've had from my clients.
And wow.
I really learn more these days, I think, from my clients. But a story of synchronicity would be when my brother got married and wanted to spend his honeymoon night in Los Angeles, uninterrupted by pranksters such as myself. He kept the whereabouts of his hotel secret. And the next day, he was scheduled to head off to Hawaii on the honeymoon. Well, I was on the freeway after the wedding the next day, driving in my father-in-law's 58 Chevrolet.
Hmm.
And alongside comes a Chevrolet, same white collar, same model, with my brother and sister-in-law in it. And we waved to each other as they went to the airport.
Oh, wow. Yeah, definitely an unlikely crossing in Los Angeles, huh?
And the identical car, model, and color.
Wow. What a trip. So much fun. Well, Dan, this has been absolutely wonderful to connect with you. What is the best way for folks to follow your work, who want to link up with you?
The International Journal of Healing and Caring has an editorial that I write with each issue. And it has lots and lots of healing articles, including one on the Rwanda experience. Pet healings for dogs and cats, and so on. And that's at IJHC.org, International Journal of Healing and Caring. And they can reach me at by email most easily at my initials, DB, at DanielBenor.com.
Okay, great. One thing I will add that's interesting that just sort of occurred to me as we've talked here, of course, you having the issue with your voice and you explaining that. And what's interesting about it, and it's something that I talk about a lot on the show, is how, events and stories oftentimes that appear to be, quote unquote negative, can have sort of a silver lining, or they're often the lump of coal is a diamond in disguise. And in this case, what's interesting about the way that you're speaking is it creates a certain power where, you know, I'm listening intently. I'm listening closely. It makes it very impactful. So I think you're such a wonderful example tying together the type of work you do with the you know, what I just wanted to point out is really sort of a positive side effect and maybe an unexpected side effect of this trauma. There is a diamond in disguise because it brings a certain energy to what you're doing and what you're saying that I find to be healing and helpful.
I agree with you, Brandon, that negative experiences oftentimes are wonderful teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And our lessons are always there if we're ready to look at them.
Right.
Richard Bach, who wrote Jonathan Livingston Seagull and Illusions, said, if we wonder if our lessons in life are ever finished, we just need to check whether we're alive. And if we still are, then we have more lessons to go.
I love that. I couldn't agree more. And I've often said something similar, not knowing that quote or that source. So I will definitely reference that. I do have one last question I'd like to leave you with, Dan, that I always end off with. In 60 seconds or less, what is the meaning of life to you?
Life is the only game in which the object of the game is to learn the rules. That's a quote from the cartoonist Ashley Brilliant.
And you know, I often say last names can in many cases have sort of a double meaning, and what a brilliant quote that is. Thank you for sharing that too, because I am a sucker for a good quote, and that is a good one. You shared a couple of good ones there at the end, so thank you so much. This has been such a pleasure and such an honor to connect with you and learn about your work.
And for me as well, Brandon, you're a lovely interviewer.
Thank you so much. And till next time, journey well, my friend.
Thank you. You too.